Isn't it great to be a Christian? Now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Ephesians 3:20 and 21. Well, our lesson today is a continuation of our series of lessons that I've been preaching to you about the devoted church. A devoted church is a church that involves itself, of course, in a number of different things. One of those things, the thing that we will talk about this morning, of course, is fellowship. I hope that as we study today, that there will be something that will inspire you and help you to better understand or learn about this great subject that the New Testament church found itself being involved in and believing in so adamantly as they continued to do what the apostles wanted them to, or follow them in their example. In Acts chapter 2, verses 41 and following, we have this reading. So then those who had received His word were baptized that day, and there were added about 3,000 souls, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. Many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all of those who had believed were together, and they had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with the gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all of the people. And of course, the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. This great passage, of course, involves so many marvelous things about the Christian life and the life that should be found in the body of Christ, the church, as we know it today. Now, brethren, I love enjoying a potluck dinner or a great meal or dinner on the ground, as we call it. Anybody with me? Sure we do. We all love that. And especially when it involves all of our church family together. But unfortunately, I think many of us, many Christians, primarily associate the word fellowship with eating a meal, so much so that the concept, or the two concepts, have virtually become synonymous with each other. In fact, it's not uncommon to hear somebody say, "I went to a church fellowship yesterday," or "I'm going to a church fellowship today." But did you know, biblically speaking, or linguistically speaking, maybe, fellowship isn't something that you do. It's not something that you attend. It's something you have. I want to try to impress that point upon us today. That's the part I want to try to teach us a little better about. And I guess before I begin, I want to say to you, I'm not belittling us or ragging on us because we say I'm going to the fellowship hall gym, or we had fellowship yesterday at the building, or whatever. But I do want to make sure that we understand that fellowship is a great deal more than sometimes our brain says it is. we need to remember that there are many, many important different things about that fellowship. As a matter of fact, you know, money is fellowship because money is something that we have in common. You have something I want, and how much do you want for it? Well, we share this in common with each other. We have these dollar bills or coins or whatever they may be, and you have what I want, and I have what you want, and we make an exchange. That's a form of, if you will, fellowship. And I hope that you notice that in the section of Scripture that I read, it's amazing to me that how many times there is repeated the concepts or the idea of what fellowship is all about, even though it is stated in so many different kinds of forms. The early church saw that, as we may have said in some other lessons, they were devoted to certain aspects, certain things. And fellowship was one of those things that they devoted themselves to. So, without further ado, just what is fellowship? What is fellowship? Well, I don't want to go all Greek on you, okay? But most of you probably know this word. You've probably heard it. Koinonia. Koinonia. Fellowship. It's a description, if you will, of a very close and intimate kind of relationship between two or maybe more people. People were described as having fellowship when they had a business partnership, for example, or a close friendship with another person could be easily categorized as what this word actually means. Or my relationship with Rosemary, or Donald, your relationship with, what's her name? Linda. Oh, your wife. That's a fellowship. Something we share together in common. And we have an opportunity. And of course, being members of a community in which everybody shares their belongings with each other. That's also a form of fellowship. And many of the times the word fellowship is used in Scripture, it's speaking of something much more spiritual than we give it the, I think, the proper credit for. That is, it's a close relationship with the Lord. In 1 Corinthians, we read in chapter 1 and at verse 9, God is faithful through whom you were called, listen, into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. That indicates that if you are in the Lord, you have fellowship with Jesus Christ. You don't do fellowship. You don't attend it. You have it. And you need to take advantage of it. I hope that as we go here a little further, you'll see how that this all kind of fits together. And then try to encourage you in many different ways, because you see, there are all kinds of different types of fellowships coming from our word koinonia that we're talking about. Different types of fellowship. There's a great passage in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse 14. We even turned there and studied from it in our Bible class this morning. Listen to the fellowship that's described here. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, He Himself likewise also took part of the same, that through death He might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. Well, this, of course, is talking about Christ, and yet human beings, all of us, fellowship in the same way by being partakers of flesh and blood. We all have flesh and blood. we all bleed red, even though our skin color might be different, even though our stature or our appearance may be different, even our genders are different. But we have a common ground and a fellowship together in the idea of flesh and blood, one of the things that we have in common. The Bible also warns us and says to us that we could have fellowship with the wrong kind of things. In fact, it's written of, as the Apostle Paul is saying over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 20, he warns us to stay clear of idolatry or finding ourselves connected together with the worship of demons. That would be the wrong kind, Jip, of fellowship. We don't want to associate ourselves with those things, and so he warns us against them. Or as he stated in 1 Timothy 5 and 22 to the young apprentice Timothy, he warned them not to share in other people's sins or their sinful nature. In other words, don't become a partaker of that. Don't have fellowship, something in common with them, in their sin. That wouldn't be the right thing to do. It's interesting to me that as a human being, Christians are granted fellowship with deity. Listen to what 1 John chapter 1 and verse 3 says to us or states to us. Do we have that scripture? No, we don't have it in its entirety. But if you look in your New Testament, in 1 John chapter 1 and at verse 3, here's what it will say to you. That which we have seen and heard and declare unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship, listen, is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. I have something that I share in common spiritually with the Father and with the Son. Fellowship is not just a potluck. It's not just a meal that we share together, or it's not located in some room. It's something you have with you all the time if you can remind yourself of that one very important thing. And our fellowship together with this deity is based upon our commitment to remain pure. That is, to remain pure from the world. In fact, it tells us in verse 6 of this very same chapter, 1 John, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Do you see here the importance of the idea of keeping ourselves pure or unspotted from the world? If somebody tells us that we're going to have dinner with the governor, and oh, by the way, David, I was impressed with your picture of with Governor Greg Abbott the other day, and I know that was be a memorable occasion, but Tommy was in the picture as well, only you were in the background back there, I don't know, probably doing this. I saw Michael Jimerson, and I saw Mayor Pat also as well. They were in the background, but in the foreground, there was David and the governor. Well, what a great thing to be invited to be to some occasion where there is someone like that in that presence. But I want to say that I'm saying that to emphasize this to you, is that you are not just invited to some place for some occasion. You are family of the Father and the Son and the Spirit all the time. That's fellowship with God. What a blessing that is. And because of that, if we try to fellowship both with the world and the Father, we we can lose that heavenly blessing. We don't want one hand on the cross while we wrap another one around the world. We want to keep ourselves pure and reminded of the importance of our fellowship with our Heavenly Father. We're told by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians, over there in chapter 13, that we meet together just as we did earlier here around the table, and we have what? Well, one of the words we use to describe that is that we have communion with our Lord. That's our fellowship as we meet weekly around this table, and we do that as a communion with not only the Lord, but with His Holy Spirit and the blessing of that. Again, one of those things that I think possibly gets lost in the interpretation of how great a thing our fellowship is. When it says they devoted themselves unto the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, it wasn't just getting together for a meal. It was talking about who Jesus is. Fellowship, you see, is the opposite of loneliness. The opposite of loneliness. If you're in Christ, you ought never to be lonely because you have fellowship with Him. And I want to bring that point in a little bit more secure, I hope, as we move along here. But all of those who have fellowship with the Lord also have fellowship with one another. That's our bond in common, isn't it? The way we should have fellowship with each other. And the gospel brings us into communion, into a family, into a partnership or an association with each other. And John has said that we and the other apostles were preaching the gospel so that you too may have fellowship with us, the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, His Son Jesus the Christ. It's not entirely accurate for us to say that we gather together with our church family to fellowship. I think we need to stop thinking of fellowship as something that we do and begin to think of it as something that we have. Fellowship is what we have. Fellowship is what we're guaranteed in the body of Christ. What are these things that are the indicators of this true fellowship with our Lord and our Savior? Fellowship is more than just a theoretical idea. Fellowship should be a visible one. Now, this is where I want to tie these things in together. Why? Well, because people should be able to look at us and see a relationship between us and each other and with the Lord Jesus Christ. They should be able to do that. In fact, don't you remember that was one of the ways that Christ said that all the rest of the world would know us? By our love for one another. Yes. So they spent their time together. Remember in our reading? Day by day, daily they met together. They worshiped together. They brought themselves together and spent time worshiping. They, had meals together. So it's okay for us to think of a fellowship meal. That's all right. But it wasn't the only thing they did. They also busied themselves with the idea of making sure that, no one was within need. They shared with other people what they had in need. It's the opposite, as I told you, of loneliness. You know, loneliness is like a campground without any tents in it. That's a pretty lonely place, Donald. You know. And you can probably go out there today and probably find there's not many tents out today. At least, I wouldn't think it. But you see, fellowship ought to look like togetherness. Now let's drive our point home about that and why that's so important. Because you see, it's a powerful force. The aspect of fellowship which Luke seemed to be thinking about was the togetherness of the early Christians, right? They met daily. They worshiped. They shared together. They had meals together. And they did all of these different things that brought them in a place of togetherness. It was like a gift. This is what enabled them to, in those early days, to be strong and to be caring for each other and to help them as they faced the great opposition of their newfound faith. As we all see these things in our own lives, that sometimes it's difficult to live the life of the Christian because there are so many distractions and obstacles placed in our way by those that maybe we might call our friends. Don't allow us to live as we should. You see, fellowship is supposed to look like being together. It's a togetherness. It's an idea of being together. Why did Paul propose, you see, another journey? You know, when they came home from their first journey and they met for a while, why did Paul decide then that they ought to go on a second journey? If you go there and read, you'll find that the Scripture says quite definitely that they might go and visit the brethren to see how they were doing. Did that mean they weren't going to go preach the gospel, Jim? No. They were going to preach the gospel no matter where they went. But the purpose of their second journey was to go back through the places they had been and to strengthen them. I want to just say to you that Focus Northeast, that is what we are all about. We go to smaller places and allow them to invite other small places to come where they are so they can be strengthened by one another. The church in those places is so spread out and so small and tiny, they rarely get any kind of fellowship together with one another. And when they get together with one another, what do they want to do? Well, they want to sing praises to the Lord. They want to talk about the Lord. They want somebody to say Jesus is our Savior. They want someone to remind them of the things that the New Testament teaches about what strengthens their life to help them to continue to face the things that are in their own lives and carry the message right there in their own place so that they can comfort and edify one another. Fellowship then has the potential to make you better and for us to supply what each of us is lacking. Why is it that if you go in the back door classroom, you're going to have to light off a firecracker practically to get anybody's attention? What could have gone on in just such a few short days that everybody in there la 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 la? I mentioned to Joe today that he ought to collect those eggs back in that one corner. It was really cackling in one spot. What were they doing? They were sharing together. They were enjoying being with one another. It's what strengthens us. I guess it's the thing that maybe sometimes confuses me as well as discourages me when some rarely get involved, maybe in the Bible class situation. There's such great fellowship. It's not just the idea of us laughing together or smiling together or telling stories. It's about all of the good things that God has done for us in Jesus Christ. And we share together in those very great things. That's when we supply what each one of us needs. Since none of us are perfect, we need that kind of fellowship to help us be whole and to be what God wants us to be. I mean, if I said between the bookends, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Between the Bookends was a radio program. A fellow by the name of Ted Malone. And he wasn't really what any one of us would call a slick down TV personality. He was a radio personality. If he were giving the news or reporting something probably on camera, he would probably not be very popular. But he had a way of just bringing people in with the common stories about life and was able to encourage all kinds of people for over 60 years on his radio broadcast on KMBC out of Kansas City. One time on his radio show, early in the morning, he told the story of an Idaho shepherd who had written him a letter. He read it. He said, "Will you, on your broadcast, strike the note A? I'm a shepherder. I'm way out here on a ranch, out in Idaho, and I'm way far away from a piano or any other kind of instrument to give me an A. Would you strike an A so that I might get in tune?" Malone honored the request. He did it several times, two or three times throughout his program, hoping that the shepherd would hear. He later received a thank you and a note from the distant shepherd saying, "Hey, thanks, Ted. I'm now in tune." Christians, listen to me. Christians can help each other stay in tune. But when you withdraw and you are alone, you can get off key. We need each other. That's the point I'm trying to make. Fellowship looks like togetherness. Yet we don't experience the fellowship the way we should. It's not just a theoretical kind of fellowship, you know, show up here and this is fellowship, but rather the kind of thing that brings us into understanding each other's needs. Can people see the fellowship that you have with your church family? Jesus is the one who said, "By this all people will know you are my disciples, if you have love one for another," John 13, verse 35. If you have no indicators of fellowship than we have with our brothers and sisters in Christ, how will people see our love one for another? So how do we strengthen it? How do we go about making it a bond that exists and that is one that will not separate between Christians because they are Christians? If we can have a strong bond, that bond is what holds us together. I want you to know that it has to be something that is intentionally strengthened in order for it to be strong. This is where the discussion gets more difficult because, you see, it depends upon our mindset or on our heart or maybe better, our spirituality. You know, I think there are a lot of passages possibly that that talk about that kind of thing, but I guess the one that or the place that I love the most is in the book of Colossians. And so I turn there, chapter 3, out of the book of Colossians. And he says so plainly, if you then be risen with Christ, this is verse 1, seek the things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your mind, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. Now listen, it's great to play games. It's great to golf. It's great to be involved. But if you may strengthen your friendship with someone greatly with that. And that's good. But if you want to strengthen your Christian relationship, you start talking about the Lord and see what happens to your faith and see what happens to your faithfulness when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye appear with Him in glory. And put to death therefore your members which are here on the earth, fornication and uncleanliness, inordinate kinds of affection and evil desires and covetousness, which is idolatry. For these things, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. You see, strengthening our fellowship. We do that by celebrating the fellowship we have in Christ. We do that by confessing our sins one to another. We do that by praying with each other, by singing the songs that we sing together, sharing in the Lord's Supper, laboring with one another to spread the gospel like we did the last couple of weeks, and hopefully that we continue to do, and to get to know one another, knowing our spiritual strengths and our spiritual weaknesses. That's what strengthens our fellowship. We're not getting together to fellowship, brethren. We're getting together because we are in fellowship together. That's why we want to be together. We want to fellowship one with another. I think the words of the Hebrew writer are particularly applicable here. The Hebrew 10 and verse 24 says, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as we see the day drawing near. To be a great church for the Lord, we must be devoted to the Word of God, of course, to the risen Lord, to the reaching of our potential, the counting of our blessings, by becoming steadfast, understanding the necessity of the Lord's Supper, and recognizing that all of those things are fellowship that we have with each other. I love you. I pray that your fellowship will increase and strengthen as you serve the Lord. If you're here today and we can strengthen you, we invite you to come while we stand and while we sing.